These last 5 weeks, we've talked about blessing, eating, listening or learning, then listening or learning, those kind of just commingle together. And today we talk about being sent. What does that look like? Well, I want to pray for us. We're going to look at Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and Luke 9, 1 to 9. Lord Jesus, we just come to you. And we thank you that we are sent and that you have been using our lives in the last few weeks to bless, to eat, to listen, and to learn from you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us today to hear you, to know where you are sending us, and to know how you want to use us. Lord Jesus, we just come to you. We give you our lives. We give you our minds, our hearts. Have your way through this message, and that we would walk out of this place different than when we came in. That we would say, yes, I want to show the rule and reign of Jesus in my life through word and action. And Father, I pray that this would not just be just another sermon about being sent, but it would be transformational. That it would, the words would not just go into our ears, but these words would go into our hands, into our minds, into our legs, and that there would be actionable things that would come as a result. I give you all the glory, Lord Jesus. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, through this message, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Very familiar passage, Sermon on the Mount. Says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Luke 9, 1 through 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, and others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. Well, are you the kind of person who enjoys watching movies? Anybody here like watching movies? We watched an interesting movie last night at the community center, Norm of the North. It was interesting. We had some pizza and interacted with some people. It was pretty good, actually, even though it wasn't a Disney flick. It was good. Maybe you like going to theaters just to see the previews of what's coming up. I'm not one of those people. I actually don't like previews at all. Get through them. If it's a DVD, I'll wait till it gets out on DVD, and then I hit the forward button. Let me see the picture. I don't want to see what's coming up, right? Trailers are short versions of the soon-to-be movie, right? There's special effects, maybe a funny line or two that comes across and maybe catches you a little bit. Sometimes the trailers aren't too bad. Sometimes they make you want to see the movie in 30 seconds or less, right? Well, we've been saying over and over and over the last number of weeks that we are called to alert others of the reign and rule of God. Right? We are called. That is what missional means, is to alert others of the rule and reign of God. Try to think of God's rule, the kingdom of heaven, the coming new creation, as the main feature, as a massive blockbuster film. Our lives should be like trailers, giving people a taste of the full thing. You ever thought of your life as a trailer of the kingdom of God? Just a little taste of heaven here on earth? Think about that for a second. Theologian Leslie Newbegin put it this way. The church exists for the sake of those who are not members as a sign, instrument, and foretaste of God's redeeming grace for the whole life of society. I'm going to read that a little bit slower. The church exists for the sake of those who are not members as sign, instrument, and foretaste of God's redeeming grace for the whole life of society. I don't know if you guys have that up there on the PowerPoint. So a sign, what does this mean? Sign, instrument, and foretaste. Well, a sign, the church is a sign pointing people to the reality that is right around the corner. The kingship of Jesus and his imminent return. The kingship of Jesus. Is Jesus king of your heart? Is he leading you to bless and eat, listen and learn and be sent? Foretaste. Well, foretaste is like a movie trailer. The church is where people can get a taste of the future in the present. When the church is a foretaste, we demonstrate what life is like when men and women live under the rule and reign and power of the Spirit. We demonstrate what life is like when men and women live under the rule and reign and power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, instrument. The church is not just a sign or a foretaste, but we are an instrument. Like a tool in the hands of God, we are used to help shape God's preferred future on this planet. Sign, foretaste, instrument. Think of that for a minute. So what is the reign of God like? And how can our lives be like a sign or a foretaste? Is your life, if your life is meant, or our lives are meant to be people that alert others to the reign and rule of God, what exactly are we pointing them to? Well, let me suggest a few things that N.T. Wright, theologian, talks about regarding the essentials of alerting others to the reign of God. Reconciliation is at the heart of God's reign. We see in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 these words. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Well, since reconciliation is so central, it makes sense that it should be a core expression of God's reign and rule. Reconciliation between God and humankind, between Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, black and white. Paul continues to pursue these implications for the church as we read in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God. Through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are to both announce reconciliation, meaning to champion it, to describe it, to explain it, and advocate for it. To champion it, to describe it, to explain it, and advocate for reconciliation, and to demonstrate it. Be reconciled to others. Broker reconciliation among others. We are God's brokers. Think about that. Well, how do you do this? Well, maybe it's in your workplace, by mediating between two warring colleagues, wherever you're at. What does that look like? Between family members that don't get along, trying to bring reconciliation, trying to bring two sides together. You might share the good news with someone that God reconciles to themselves. That's the ultimate, right? God reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ, that we are the conduit of that reconciliation, that coming back together. So reconciliation is number one way of showing the reign of God, showing the reign of God. And being sent. Number two is justice. Justice characterizes God's reign. We serve a just God, do we not? We serve a very just God. The Hebrew word for justice is emshpat, and it occurs 200 times in the Old Testament. It means more than just the punishment of wrongdoing. It also means giving people their rights. Emshpat is giving people what they are due, whether punishment, protection, or care. Over and over again, emshpat describes taking up the care and cause of what is called the quartet of the vulnerable, the widows, the orphans, immigrants, and the poor. And before my time here, and I met one of the couples, the Syrian refugees that you brought in here and brought justice and helped. That's part of being sent. That's part of that demonstrating the rule and the reign of God in the world. You demonstrated mishpat to those Syrian refugees. There's another Hebrew word. It is related to mishpat. It is tzedakah, which refers to a life of right relationships. Tzedakah refers to a day-to-day living in which a person conducts all relationships in family and society with fairness, generosity, and equity. One way to look at the relationship between the two words is that tzedakah is primary justice and mishpat is rectifying justice. Primary justice, rectifying justice. So in other words, tzedakah is the blockbuster film, as we were talking about earlier. The way of life, the way the life will be in the kingdom of heaven. Well, mishpat is the trailer. What happens now? That makes sense? So there's a difference. And Jesus came to bring both. We read of that promise of mishpat and tzedakah in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 that we read almost every Christmas. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Jesus' reign is one of tzedakah, that primary justice. And we are called to perform acts of mishpat to reveal his reign to others. So think of that, those words. Wouldn't recommend necessarily talking in that way to those outside the church. They might think you're a little crazy, but just think on that and maybe meditate on those words this week. So we have reconciliation, we have justice, and we have beauty. Number three is beauty. Beauty reveals God's reign. It's my guess that at times when you're out, maybe God's beauty and his creation doesn't attract you. Right now, all you want to do is get out of the outside and into the inside, right? Because it's so cold. But there is a beauty. Even as I was sitting in my office this morning praying before the service, I looked out my window and there's hoarfrost. Beautiful all over the trees, right? A reminder. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard of you traveling in different parts of the world and been in cathedrals with beautiful stained glass windows, with beautiful architecture, wonderful things. Maybe someone, when you sit behind the piano and you play beautiful music, do you sense God's presence? No, when Spencer Van Dellen was standing here on December 23rd and sang part of the Messiah, I sensed God's presence. But an anointing was there. But more than natural beauty, I think we need to commit ourselves to the skills and abilities in which God has given to us. Think about this. If you're a musician, make music. If you're an artist, paint, build. If you craft, if you make food, and invite others to join you in that. Think about that for a second. N.T. Wright puts it this way. It is central to Christian living that we should celebrate the goodness of creation, ponder its present brokenness, and insofar as we can, celebrate in advance the healing of the world, the new creation itself, art, music, literature, dance. Oh, did I say that in a Baptist church? Ooh. Ha ha ha. Theater and many other expressions of human delight and wisdom can all be explored in new ways. Last week I shared with you a couple of rocks that I found at Kingsfold that just touched my heart and revealed a piece of God's creation to me and his beauty. Each of you have gifts God has given to you. How are you using those to show the rule and reign of the kingdom of God? Are you just doing it for your own sake? To exalt yourself? Not bad to be, you know, encouraged, to be complimented on what you're good at. But if we do it solely, folks, hear me in this, if we do it solely in the motivation just to have ourselves exalted and ourselves complimented, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. Right? We want to show the rule and reign of God. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? Because we love Jesus. We want to show that rule and reign of our Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we have reconciliation, we have justice, we have beauty, we have wholeness. Wholeness demonstrates God's reign. When John the Baptist heard from prison that what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to check with him whether he was really the Christ, or should we expect someone else? Or should he expect someone else? Jesus' message to John's disciples was this in Matthew 11, 2 through 6. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on the account of me. The primary ways that Jesus revealed his kingdom to others was through his use of parables and miracles. The miracles, refer back to the movie explanation, the miracles were trailers or foretastes of the world to come. Much like we see in Luke 9, 1 through 9. He sent them out and gave them all authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6, so they set out and went from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Soul healing, body healing. Wholeness. People need to be whole. Our world is full of broken people. Our church is full of broken people. What are we doing to show the rule and reign of God and the wholeness that he offers? I find it interesting in verse 7 of Luke 9. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on and he was perplexed. Well, that sounds like some surprising. Some people that were, that what the disciples were doing was sending him for a little bit of a mental conundrum. What in the world is going on? I killed that John the Baptist. I thought I ended that thing. That movement. And at the end of verse 9, and he tried to see him. There's a desire to go and to connect, right? On the behalf of Herod. Is there people wanting to see us? Because we offer something that they can't get somewhere else? We offer them justice? Do we offer them reconciliation? Do they see the beauty of Christ in our lives? Think about it. Michael Frost puts it this way. Of course, many Christians are committed to bringing healing to the lives of others. Doctors, nurses, psychologists, counselors. I want to encourage these as important expressions of the reign of God, he says. When Christians provide emergency relief to victims of natural disasters, we are showing them what the reign of God looks like. When we help to repair a broken marriage, we do the same. When a Christian medical practitioner treats a patient with dignity and grace, bringing healing to their body, we can clearly see it as mirroring the work of God. But I want to go further and say that more than these practical expressions of healing, we should also be praying for supernatural healing in people's lives. We need to pray for healing, folks. Do you believe today that God heals not only the soul but the body? He does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to bring wholeness to us as a church, and he wants to bring wholeness to Claire's home. I witnessed the brokenness of our society this week. I won't get into any details, but it was two doors away from my house. Brokenness, bad choices, resulting in some serious consequences. Our world needs healing. They need the healing of their minds to think differently. They need the healing of their bodies in order to walk out empowered, to live differently. The world needs the justice of Jesus Christ that was bought on the cross. The blood of Jesus needs to flow through our words, through our actions, to a world that so desperately needs it. And fear and laziness are what are hindering us, as we learned the first week. Not laziness as sitting on the couch, but laziness in that we're not willing to give up our schedules, our minds, and our hearts to the living God. We need to give up these things. Sorry if I scared you. Or maybe I woke you up a little bit. There we go. Hallelujah. We need to give it over, church. We are stuck in apathy. And we need to move forward to a place where this flows. And it's hard. I'm there with you. There's times where, especially when it's cold outside or other things like that, I'd rather not go out and do things and walk out in wholeness and reconciliation and justice. I just like to sit in my little corner of my life and be happy, be nice. Sometimes that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the world needs healing. The world needs healing from poverty. Poverty of the soul, but also poverty of the wallet. Poverty of the mind. There's so much higher level that we can go to with Jesus. What was lost, folks, in the garden was three things: acceptance, security, and significance. That was why there was so much shame and fear within Adam. They hid. That's why people hide. Jesus said it in John chapter 3, right? People don't want to come into the light because they're afraid of what will be exposed. But we offer them these things, the Emshpat and the Zeda, these justice that Jesus came to give. Of his government of peace, there will be no end. There will be no end to his government of peace. So why do we sit back? Well, we try to do it ourselves. And I appreciate what Gerald had to say and what was explained at Breakforth, that God doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. He wants to be in relationship with us. And he wants others to be in relationship with him. That's why we're all doing what we're doing. It's why we want to bring healing. Why I want to bring healing. Because when people, folks, what was lost in the garden was gained at the cross. Acceptance, security, and significance was gained back. And the soul of every person within this church at times and outside this church is seeking acceptance, security, and significance. Identity in Jesus is what people need. When we know our true identity, then we too can be sent forth and help others to receive their identity. Why was Herod so perplexed? Because he didn't understand why his government wasn't doing it when these 12 guys and a few others were. They were bringing something to his constituency that he could not bring. He was perplexed. So we as Christians are sent ones. We have been sent into our worlds, our workplaces, our neighborhoods to alert others to the reign of God. It is our role as instruments in God's hands to bring tastes of wholeness, justice, beauty, reconciliation, to let others know these will fully flower in the return of Christ. When Christ returns, isn't that a wonderful thought to think about for a second? When he returns, it'll be true justice. It'll be true wholeness, true reconciliation. But in the meantime, the kingdom of God is now but not yet. Can we be, each of us in our areas of influence, just a little piece of that? Amen? Yes, we need to be a little piece of that for our world today. So Michael Frost tells us to keep a journal. Some of you have fitness monitors. Maybe they're on right now. And it's saying, well, you're sitting too long. You need to get going. Where's your heart rate at? Right? Well, that fitness monitor that's on your arm or here or wherever tells you a little bit about your heart rate and a few other little things, what's going on, your calorie intake, your sleep patterns. Why not have a spiritual heart monitor, like a journal of some sort? Right? Maybe you do that already and you share, but just encourage you. I know I myself at different times throughout my life, right now currently working through one, but just journal opportunities. Be open to those opportunities. So keep a journal of seeing where God is at work in your life and where God wants you to go and to be taken. So it's all about, folks, reshaping our identities around our fundamental calling as sent ones of God. By fostering the habit of briefly journaling the various ways, large or small, that you alerted others to God's reign of reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness, we ourselves will find increasingly our identity as a sent one. And it's not just a habit. That's one thing I may have to say publicly, that the use of the word habit in this book, it's okay, but it's not the best word. Right? If you're just doing this for the sake of doing it, he said, because pastor's preaching on it, I'm doing it, I'm just going through the motions with this book, forget it. Stop. Okay? I want you to do it because there's a great desire in your heart because you love Jesus, because you want to do it. And creating a habit, that's one sort of phrase you can think about, but it's a lifestyle. It's more. It's Jesus should encompass every living moment on this earth, every breath we breathe. We need to be thinking about him. And it's about, this is a tool in which we can think and a lens in which we can see, but it truly is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that causes us to sacrifice, causes us to lay down our lives. And this past year, I recently read a book called Hidden in Plain Sight by Mark Buchanan. Good CBWC guy. Used to be, anyway. Now he's an Alliance guy. That's good, too. But he shares a story out of Rwanda. And I just want you to think of this story for just a second. A woman's only son was killed. She was consumed with grief and hate and bitterness. God, she prayed, reveal my son's killer. One night she dreamed she was going to heaven, but there was a complication. In order to get to heaven, she had to pass through a certain house. She had to walk down the street, enter the house through the front door, go through its rooms, up the stairs, and exit through the back door. She asked God whose house this was. It's the house, he told her, of your son's killer. The road to heaven passed through the house of her enemy. Two nights later, there was a knock at her door. She opened it, and there stood a young man. He was about her son's age. Yes, she replied as she opened the door and saw him standing there. He hesitated, and then he said, I'm the one who killed your son. Since that day, I've had no life, no peace. So I am here. So here am I. I am placing my life in your hands. Kill me. I'm dead already. Throw me in jail. I'm in prison already. Torture me. I'm in torment already. Do with me as you wish. The woman had prayed for this day. Now it had arrived, and she didn't know what to do. She found, to her own surprise, that she did not want to kill him, or throw him in jail, or torture him. In that moment of reckoning, she found she only wanted one thing, a son. I ask this of you, come into my home and live with me. Eat the food I would have prepared for my son. Wear the clothes that I would have made for my son. Become the son I lost. And so he did. Wow. That's living a surprising life. That's living the justice out that we talked about. That's living reconciliation. That's living wholeness to the extreme. Wow. So how are we going to walk that out today and in this week? Well, we need accountability. Some of you are in small groups, right? You need to ask yourselves some questions. You know, in chapter 8, I encourage you to read chapter 8. This book talks about DNA groups, discipleship, nurture, accountability groups. And just to ask some questions. You're going to hear these questions throughout your time this week. But just ask yourself and maybe ask somebody. Phone them up or text them. Have you blessed someone today? Have you eaten with someone today? Have you sensed the Holy Spirit saying anything? And what are you discovering about Jesus? I wouldn't recommend necessarily all those questions at once, but just once in a while, just think about those questions. And how did we mirror God's work in the world today? There's some reconciliation, some justice, some beauty that was shown. Linda has made some photocopies here. And you can feel free to take one if you want more, that's fine. But it's just a catalog, a directory of different places in Claire's home. That maybe you're not involved in the community right now in some way, shape, or form, and you want to be. You don't know where to start. You don't know where to plug in to be able to help. Maybe you're already plugged into many, many different places. Wonderful. Just ask yourself these questions as you go into those meetings, as you go into those places to reconcile, to show justice, to show beauty, and to bring wholeness. But there's just some resources here. And I'm going to put them out in the foyer, but you can take them, pray through them. Maybe you just take this and you pray for every agency, one a day in our town, whatever that looks like. Or you get involved. Just ask Jesus a simple question. Where do you want me to walk out? Because you know what? Herod here was perplexed. On January 30th, when I walked across the lawn, there were some ladies and men whose eyes were very perplexed. Because they said, why are you doing this? Why would you give me a cooked chicken? Don't I have to pay you something? Huh? No. When we live out, when we have that desire deep within us, when Jesus changes our perspective, people are going to be perplexed. And when you go to some of these places, which I hope some of you do, they're going to say, why do you want to get involved? There's an opportunity to say and to reveal the rule and reign of Jesus. So are we ready to perplex the world? Are we ready? We're not, but he is. He's ready in us. The world so desperately needs Jesus. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yes. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you know the pathways in which you are going to take my brothers and sisters today, and in the weeks and months and years to come, to surprise the world with justice, with reconciliation, with wholeness, with beauty. Sometimes it may be right through the household of our enemy, through someone we don't like, as you did with that woman, and you reconciled and brought wholeness and healing and justice, your type of justice, into the life of that young murderer. Father, it may not be ever that extreme for any of us, but we are still called to be sent ones. And so, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would help us not to too quickly leave this place, but to think of your presence going with us. That yes, we are going out into the mission field. We are going out into a place where we want to leave a wake of perplexion behind us and with us, saying, I want to see them. I want to grab onto them, just like those 10 men you talk about in Zechariah. Because God is with you. We want to live surprising, perplexing, and intriguing lives, Lord Jesus, because your kingdom turns this world on its head. So help us, Lord Jesus, to have that mindset. Help us not to so quickly leave this place without first realizing what you have placed inside of us. Holy Spirit, move your people. Move Faith Community Baptist Church. Move them to a place of sentness. Move us all, Lord Jesus, to give our schedules over to you, to give our thoughts and our minds and our actions, our motivations over to you, so that you would teach us and reveal to us the places we are to bless, the people we are to bless, the people we are to eat with, the people we are to go to as we listen, as we learn of you, Jesus. Help us to marinate ourselves in the Gospels so that we know that we know that we know that this is how you would have us to walk out, because you did it first. Thank you, Jesus, that you've made a way for us. Help us to hear you. Help our minds not to be distracted at this very moment. I pray for any distractions, any things that would seek, kill, and destroy the willingness to walk out in wholeness and in justice and in mercy. I release the minds and the hearts of every person, including my own here today, to you, Lord Jesus. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you are placing a call in some people's lives to be more proactive and more deliberate about this sentness. You're speaking to people right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, as an act of obedience, as an act of worship, I ask if you are wanting to be sent to bless, to eat, to bring justice, to bring wholeness, to bring healing, ask you right now to stand. If you don't have that, that's fine. Don't conjure up something, but if you are sensing, yes, I just want to commit to that, maybe you've been doing it already, stand. I want you to stand, please. If you want to be better at that, this is a chance, this is a worship, folks. I want to be that sent one. Stand. I want to recommit to that. And maybe you're saying, you know what, I haven't been doing that the way I should. Forgive me, Father. And as an act of forgiveness, stand. Father God, I thank you for those who are standing and for those who are sitting, and those who are not here, and those who will be here because of those who are standing and those who are sitting. Father, we just ask and release control to you right now, the power of your Spirit. Send us on, Lord. May we be like a ship where you fill the sails of our souls and just move us out into the deeper waters. Speak to us. For your servants, they are listening. We are listening. Fill, lead, guide each of us. That your kingdom here on earth in Claire's home and our families would be transformed for your sake, for your glory. It's in your powerful and awesome and sent name we pray.